Yakuza realized over time that there's a lot more money to be made in, for example, manipulating stocks or setting up a company and doing an IPO than there is in, you know, shaking down the local prostitute.
The Economist.
In Tokyo, this is The Economist. We just spoke to Jake Adelstein, an expert on Japan's organized crime groups, the Yakuza, and author of the forthcoming book, Tokyo Vice, an American reporter on the police beat in Japan. We started out by asking Jake, who or what are the Yakuza?
Well, the Yakuza are Japan's indigenous crime group. There are roughly 84,000 of them recognized by the police at present that make their living in criminal activities.
What are some of these criminal activities?
These days, it still includes traditional things like selling drugs, prostitution, extortion, blackmail, loan sharking, and more elaborate things like stock market manipulation.
Now, there's organized crime everywhere, so the Yakuza are somehow different. They operate openly, and they have this long lineage of tradition and honor. Tell me something about their history and these values that they have.
Well, I'm going to go back here and explain the operate openly thing a little bit, because I think it's hard for people to comprehend how open it is in Japan. The Yamaguchi-gumi, which is the biggest Yakuza group in the country, with close to 40,000 members, making them kind of the Walmart of Japanese organized crime because they have half the market. Their office in Kobe can be seen from Google Earth because it's like an entire city block. The police announced they're going to be making raids on the Yamaguchi-gumi headquarters in advance to the media. In addition to this, there are several fan magazines sold every week, every month, detailing what's happening in the world of the Yakuza.
How can they operate so openly? Isn't what they're doing illegal?
They portray themselves as kind of like a Rotary Club, a group of patriotic individuals who band together to preserve traditional Japanese values and protect the streets from evil foreigners, which there aren't really many of in Japan. But since there is nothing illegal about being an organization in Japan, they're able to operate under the cover of being these, the Japanese word they use is ninkyo dantai, a group of traditional values.
Why are they so idolized? I know that part of it, their value system is very strange, and at least to Western eyes, and they even amputate their fingers if they commit some grievous mistake to show penitence to their boss. From a personal example, what are they like?
A lot of these guys are sort of misfits from society, and the Yakuza structure, which is based on kind of a quasi-family structure, offers them this kind of security and sense of belonging that they can't get anywhere else. When you join the Yakuza, after you've served your time doing menial tasks, and that's cleaning rooms, being a driver for the Oyabun, the father figure, the head of your gang, and you're initiated into the organization, you have a sort of ritual sake drinking in which you announce that you have become blood brothers, the child of the father figure of your organization.
Now, what was the rationale for the Yakuza to exist and actually flourish in post-war Japan?
A couple things happened. One is the Yakuza were partly compiled by people who, in post-war Japan, who had no place to go. That would be the Korean Japanese. Koreans who had been brought over as slave laborers and were second-class citizens in Japan and were sort of working as gangs and black marketeers. Some of the first labor unions were mistreated workers gathering together to protect themselves from the police and the politicians and all the local thugs. And that's how they started. And they were also virulently pro-emperor and anti-communist. The U.S. authorities made good use of them in suppressing socialists and other malcontents.
Now, the Yakuza has changed a lot in recent years. They've moved into different activities, and there's even been pressure from a law to shut them down. How have the Yakuza changed in response to these things?
The anti-organized crime laws that were put on the books in 1992 made it very difficult or impossible for Yakuza to wear their badges or to put up their family crest on the doors of their offices or to operate as much in the open as they used to. Under the new laws, for example, if I'm a Yakuza and I show you my business card, and Yakuza carry business cards, that itself could be an act of intimidation and I could get a warning. The Yakuza is warned 3 times for doing that. You might actually go to jail. It seems like kind of a weak system, and it is. So in order to do business the way that they had done before and collect protection money, the Yakuza began setting up front companies, whether they're making cookies or doing loan sharking or construction. That serves as the vehicle for which they can approach civilians and take money from them without actually saying, we are Yakuza. the Yakuza realized over time that there's a lot more money to be made in, for example, manipulating stocks or setting up a company and doing an IPO than there is in, shaking down the local prostitute.
So the Yakuza has had to change, and they've gotten into high-tech crime and financial fraud. How prevalent are they in that top tier of Tokyo's business community?
If you're looking simply at numbers, Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department lists about 800, 900 organized crime groups that they recognize running front companies. From 2007 to 2008, the Tokyo Stock Exchange, the National Police Agency, and the financial services authorities began to share information on Yakuza presence in the stock markets. The list they compiled of listed companies numbers over 300, 400. Amongst those companies listed in the Tokyo Stock Exchange, maybe 20, 30. If you get to the Osaka Stock Exchange, it's much worse.
So it's as if that all of corporate Japan is a Swiss cheese with the Yakuza having holes throughout.
The Yakuza are very successful in either infiltrating companies that are listed or getting companies that they own listed on the stock market. If you look recently at real estate companies that have gone bankrupt in Japan, one of them would be Suruga Corporation. Suruga Corporation went bankrupt because in March of 2008, it was revealed by the Metro Police that Suruga Corporation was working with the Gotō Gumi to scare away civilians from real estate projects that they were working on.
So why has law enforcement been so ineffective at controlling the Yakuza?
The Yakuza are moving on, becoming high-tech, becoming financially savvy, and the cops that handle organized crime are still in the 1990s. Traditionally, this is how it worked, is if you were an organized crime cop. I would go to your office and sit down with you and have a cup of tea. And I'd say, how are things going? Do you have a list of all your current members? And you would say to me, can you tell me all the detectives on the organized crime task force? We'd make an exchange. And, you know, the Yakuza were doing very simple stuff. I mean, they weren't doing stock market manipulations. They weren't doing these, like, third-party allotment of shares and things that your average organized crime cop doesn't have a very good grasp of. As the Yakuza have gotten smarter and they get into financial services, cops have a hard time keeping up.
Now, it strikes me that law enforcement in Japan is also handcuffed from using the tools that other law enforcement authorities in other countries can use. Tell me about that.
I've got a good friend on the Organized Crime Task Force, and his joke is that mostly all we can do is trim the branches. We can never get at the roots. And what he means by that is Japan doesn't allow plea bargaining. The wiretapping laws are so strict that they're almost never used, and there is no witness protection. If you grab a Yakuza at the lowest level of whatever crime you're investigating, whether it's art fraud or credit card fraud, there's no incentive for him to rat on the people above him. If he tells, he's not going to get a lighter sentence, and there's a great possibility that when he gets out of jail, he's going to be killed and then thrown in a building foundation in Kobe somewhere.
Do the Yakuza play any useful role in Japanese society, or should I say it as, what are the pros and cons of the role they do play?
Essentially, one of the reasons that street crime is so low in Japan, you know, muggings, robberies, things like that, is that it hurts Yakuza business to have people mugged on the streets of the entertainment districts that they rule. If people are scared to go into Kabukicho because they think they're going to be mugged, then they're not going to go there, they're not going to spend their money, and the Yakuza won't collect their protection money. Ironically, some of the safest neighborhoods in Tokyo are areas where the Yakuza have their headquarters and everybody knows where their headquarters are. You would have to be a total idiot to do a purse snatching around like Inagawa-kai headquarters, because before the police could get to you, the local Yakuza would pound you to death.
So how can the Japanese control the Yakuza, or should they?
Even the National Police Agency in their white paper for 2007 said the Yakuza represent a creeping sickness that threatens the economic foundations of Japan. They're going to have to do something about them because it's not a fair deal. The funniest explanation I've had for the Yakuza role in the stock market is an older guy, I think he's about 47, who was a crime boss. He said, there's two kinds of Yakuza. There are kind of the street merchants who sold things on the streets of Edo or old Tokyo or Kamakura, and then you have the gamblers. The Yakuza have always been into gambling, and whenever they control the gambling field, of course, they cheat so they can win. And the stock market is the best casino in the world. If you have all the players lined up, if you control your own securities company, your own auditing firm, and you're gambling on that market with lots of capital, you're guaranteed to win. If they would really like to get rid of the Yakuza, one of the things, they're going to have to put a conspiracy law on the books, which would make it a crime for people to collectively plan a criminal enterprise. The so-called conspiracy laws are heavily opposed by the Democratic Party of Japan, especially Ozawa Ichiro, for reasons I don't understand. wiretapping is necessary and plea bargaining is necessary. There would have to be a change in the criminal code of Japan or the way the prosecutors work so that they could start doing these things.
We just spoke to Jake Adelstein, an expert on Japan's organized crime groups, the Yakuza, from the Economist News Bureau in Tokyo. He explained how the Yakuza are an institution deeply ingrained in the bedrock of Japanese society, making it hard for it to be cleaned out. As the police have clamped down on the Yakuza's traditional activities like gambling and prostitution and blackmail, the Yakuza have gotten involved in more sophisticated crime, like financial fraud and stock price manipulation, which is harder to detect and clean up. In Tokyo, this is The Economist.
The Economist.